It's time for Gervie's Law, the intersection of law and life, with your host, injury compensation attorney, author, and mentor, Alan Gervie. Alan is managing attorney at the law firm of Rowan Gervie & Wynn, a workers' compensation law firm who have represented injured workers for over 35 years. Joined today by his co-host, radio personality, and television host, Carrie Kasem. Carrie brings a fresh, real perspective to the intersection of law and life, turning Murphy's Law upside down. And now, here are Alan Gervie and Carrie Kasem.
Good afternoon, Los Angeles, and everyone listening all over the world on KBC.com. I am Alan Gervie. I'm the managing partner of the law firm of Rowan Gervie and Wynn. Still the managing partner, and today, as usual, as we listen to that fine music, I'm here to be the managing partner of your life. No one else's, just yours.
Just me. You're pointing at me.
No, I'm pointing at everyone.
Okay.
It's the royal point. All of us. Carrie Kasem is here with me, of course. Wouldn't miss a show. Although you missed quite a few shows.
I did when I was doing my lobbying a lot. I did miss a lot. And you were so kind to let other people fill in for me. Except for one person, I was okay with everyone.
Who weren't you okay with?
Lisa Bloom.
Oh,
yeah,
your favorite.
Right, yeah.
You want to trash her today?
No, you know, you asked me. I was just honest.
You brought it up.
Hey,
I don't even remember.
We have four people in here that heard you say, who was it?
No, I didn't know anything about the guest host. I wanted Keith Fink to guest host.
I remember that.
What's up with that?
You had a blonde.
Where was he?
China. Asia.
Well, next time. But we are fortunate today, Carrie, because Keith Fink is sitting right next to you. And for those of you who don't remember Keith Fink, he's been a friend of the show. He's been on the show a couple times. Actually, a year to the day, I went to our website, gervieslaw.com, to look at the old podcasts. And they're not that old. They're still relevant today. And a year ago today, Keith Fink was on the show with Dove Charney.
Wait, are you serious? It's really a year.
It's not really. Fudging a little bit. A few days, but don't call me on that.
Right,
really.
Okay.
No one's going to check. No one would have known.
All right. Sorry about that.
But anyway, the idea is that he was here and he brought Dove Charney. And Keith Fink is really quite something because I'll tell you, he was a UCLA debate champion. You know who his debate partner was?
No.
Three-time UCLA debate partner.
Oh, wait. Let me guess.
Guess.
Lisa Bloom.
Good.
Yeah.
Good guess. Right before Lisa went to Yale Law School, Keith and Lisa, they're legends. Keith's debate coach said that he was the greatest debater ever in the UCLA history of debate. So that's something else. And he's represented a number of people in a number of different areas of law, employment, discrimination, labor, civil rights, entertainment. And what is great about Keith Fink is that he is a walking contradiction. He loves things and he sues them. He loves UCLA, but he sues them.
Right.
He protects women's rights, but then he sues them. He protects men's rights and he sues them. Dove Charney, he sues Dove Charney, and then Dove Charney becomes his client.
I remember that. And we asked Dove why. He said because he was so good.
Yeah.
That's what Dove Charney said that. And we're going to ask Keith again just to get an update because I haven't seen Dove for a little while. And for those of you who don't know, Dove Charney, of course, was the founder of American Apparel, and he started a new company after some allegations. Which caused him, and I don't want to say them because Dove already always corrected me when I said what the allegations are. I'd rather Keith say, but we're not here for Dove Charney today. We also are very fortunate to have Cindy Garvey with us. The Cindy Garvey, of course, who is well known to a lot of people for a number of different reasons. She, of course, was with Regis Philbin back in the day on AM Los Angeles, and she co-hosted The Morning Show. It later became live with Kelly and Ryan, I guess, now, and all the different people. Mm-hmm. The guy with the gap tooth, he was on there, I think, for a while.
Michael
Strahan. Yeah. She co-hosted with Brian Gumbel, Games People Play. Been an actress, done a lot of things. She was previously married to Steve Garvey, of course. And people always call me Steve Garvey. I'm not Steve Garvey. I'm Alan Gervie. Don't call me Garvey.
Oh, that's true. Yes.
And then psychologically, I think they just call me Steve because I'm Gervy, not Garvey. But anyway, Cindy's here too. And we have Andrew Litt as well, which we're happy to have. And we're going to talk to him as well. Briefly, we want to talk about a lot of things. Keith Fink, welcome to Gervy's Law.
Thank you. This is more exciting than watching the U.S. Open.
That's true.
Most everything is. No, I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
If you were talking about the World Cup, I would say that's true. But of course, with the NFL starting and everything, there's a lot of excitement, but this is much more exciting. Keith, you have been in the news a lot. And for a lot of different reasons, I hope I was accurate when I say that you love things, but you still feel compelled to do the right thing with lawsuits. And you've protected so many women's rights as a victim's rights attorney. But then again, you have protected men in the Me Too phenomenon, which took place and has been taking place for the last 2 years. Tell us a little bit, because I think it's fascinating when you talk about due process and you talk about men who are accused of sexual assault or harassment or abuse, and really what the processes are when people, sometimes these men are just unceremoniously kicked out of their positions without necessarily due process or proper investigations.
Okay, well, today we're going to talk about two different sets of men and when due process applies. And you just asked me now about men in the workplace who are accused of sexual assault or sexual harassment and then get terminated. I think later we're going to talk about students who are accused of sexual assault, sexual harassment, and who really have no protections and who I believe right now are not afforded due process. And largely, I agree with DeVos's new proposed regulations. Yeah, I am a passionate person. I don't think these issues here are right or they're left. Basic notions of fundamental fairness and due process. Traditionally, liberal ideas should be embraced by all Americans. And I think this Me Too movement, of course, on one level, sexual harassment is a pernicious evil. And the monsters, which are Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, and Bill Cosby, they should be crucified to the maximum of the law, both criminally and civilly. But my belief is those individuals are a very small fraction, really, of those people who are abusing their positions in the American workforce. Most employers, for a variety of reasons, don't engage in this conduct. And what is scary to me about the Me Too movement, and it could happen to you, Alan, your life could be turned upside down. This is like the Salem witch trials now. All of a sudden, someone from your days at Brown comes out and says, you know, 32 years ago, Alan licked me on the ear. And then somebody does an Instagram hashtag, and it's Me Too, and it's Me Too. And now your partners have to make a decision. Are we going to be tar and feathered with this Gervy Garvey or whatever he is? Well, we don't want to know what he is. The more we deep in, the more Me Too. This is going to kill your business unless we get rid of it, because who's going to come to you? You're now all over. Once a lie in today's world, with the internet world, once a lie hits the internet, it spreads around the entire world in seconds, and the truth can never catch up to it. And I'll give you a prime example of this. Everybody out in our listening audience knows George Takei, Sulu, Star Trek. You all know Star Trek. And George Takei was beloved by everybody. An incident comes up, alleged, from 36 years ago. Someone accuses him of not only of sexual assault, but of drugging this young man. And immediately, including President Trump, you know, he can't control himself with his tweets, immediately tweets taking a shot at George Takei as if, George Takei has already been tried and determined, you know, based upon the evidence to have been some type of sexual predator. It turns out that George Takei likely didn't do it. The person couldn't recall exactly what happened. The toxicology information was inconsistent with his version of the events. And, you know, eventually he got an apology. But George Takei's reputation was ruined. Now, back to your, larger question. So what happens to a man like yourself? It could be in your situation. Most of the time in the Me Too movement, it's happening to more powerful people even than you, Alan, although you are a pretty
mighty force.
You're a pretty mighty force. Okay, but it's happening know, largely into the entertainment industry. I've had entertainment individuals. I've had reporters. This is where this has happened to, and this happens in Fortune 500. You could be making $10, $20 million, $30 million. It doesn't matter how much money you're making a year. So these allegations come up. And then exactly, I said, what is the employer going to do? And I see most employers, they don't engage in any, usually not concept, due process. Due process is a criminal concept.
Right, and they probably don't know how to either, by the way.
Well, that's a good point. Yes, exactly. You know, what type of investigation are they going to conduct? And I mean, these are, he said, she said, too. So someone says you did it, and, you know, are you going to take a risk? Are we going to lose our business? You know, are we going to lose sponsors? Good point,
Keith,
but yes.
In radio, we call this a teaser.
Okay.
Well, we're going to tease, and we're going to go to a break. But I want to just say one thing because Carrie's itching to say something. And this is just a yes or no answer because I know it's hard to get you as a debater, master debater.
And a cunning linguist.
Well, I can't. I know how to answer yes or no questions.
It's yes or no.
Yes.
Why do you have the guts to say these things where no one else does? It's not a yes or no answer.
Well, it isn't a yes or no answer. I mean, I just speak from my heart.
And you're not afraid.
I don't try to spin anything.
Because it's not popular. You're saying things that there's some women out there specifically who are listening and say, why is Keith saying these things? He's defeating or potentially hurting the Me Too movement. We're going to talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
I'm Nick Sobolewski, a SelectQuote agent with a true story that could save you hundreds of dollars a year. A woman named Linda just called. Her husband, Ray, has a $300,000 group life insurance policy, but is changing jobs and can't take it with him. Well, I shopped the many highly rated term life insurance companies we represent, like Prudential and Mutual of Omaha, and found Ray, who is 41 and takes medication to control his cholesterol, a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $27 a month. That's almost twice the coverage for less than half of what he had paid. If SelectQuote hasn't shopped for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For your free quote, call 800-292-8833. That's 800-292-8833. 800-292-8833. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1958, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at SelectQuote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/turns for more information.
Oxygen presents a groundbreaking original series, Unspeakable Crime, The Killing of Jessica Chambers.
A teenage girl burned alive.
From Oscar-nominated and Emmy Award winner Joe Berlinger comes the riveting limited TV series event.
White people just saying that black people did it, or black people saying white people did it.
A horrific death by fire divides a small town, but is the right man on trial?
Eric is not on trial here today. He should be.
Unspeakable Crime, The Killing of Jessica Chambers, tonight at 7, 6 Central, only on Oxygen, the new network for crime.
Wait a minute, what goes on in here?
Let these guys explain.
News. Talk. Evolved.
Now I understand.
790. KABC.
The glass is always half full when you're listening to Gervie's Law on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
Yeah, we're back. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. In the first segment, we were talking to Keith Fink, who is a civil rights attorney. He's an employment attorney, discrimination attorney. He defends what he believes is right. He's filed suits against Marilyn Manson, Johnny Rotten. He's repped Courtney Love. It doesn't matter to him. He's just trying to be on the right side. And it's funny because Cindy Garvey is sitting here, and during the break we were talking, and she made an astute comment about why Keith Fink is speaking out against due process and the Me Too movement. Cindy, what did you say? Because I thought it was brilliant.
Well, you asked Keith why he was doing this.
Keith is a very interesting person. Keith is brave. Keith is very quick to get to the core of things when something does not make sense to him. He's not partisan. He's not gender-oriented, no identity politics, none of that stuff. He just goes to the core of it. And like you said, he's got a passion for justice. And so I think every movement, because I'm really old, I've been through a lot of different types of movements.
You're not that old.
You're not that old. Well, thank you.
You look great.
I am. Well, thank you. All movements have their critics. But it's the early critics that come out that are, I find in my lifetime to be very brave because they're going to take the initial pounding. So trust me, Keith knows he's not going to just walk away from this. People will criticize him. But about Keith, he's a lawyer. He's got the years behind him of applied law. He knows the law. So he has a kind of a quick start on this criticism of the Me Too movement.
You know, this happened to two of my friends, two people that I know. One got kicked off a TV show, not even through, I mean, just accused, bum, done. Gone. And another one was doing Broadway.
Right.
And this, the accusation came up and the judge would not allow certain things to be said. Like she had done this to other people, that she'd waited 5 or 6 years, that, you know, right when his mom died and she had all this money and this woman comes in for it. It's like none of this stuff was allowed in. Yeah. Luckily, he fought and fought and fought and he didn't get he's not like a sexual offender, but he used every single penny he had, sold his house, did everything on an accusation. It just doesn't make sense. And yes, there are people who do this, but why can't people wait for due process? Why can't people wait until the accusations are proven to be true? What's going on with that?
Keith?
Yeah, Keith, I'm looking at you.
Well, you're saying, why can't people wait? I don't know. I mean,
well, here's the thing, why can't you get back at your employer for throwing you off a TV show? There goes your livelihood. There goes your reputation. Everything. Nothing has been proven.
Okay. Well, I thought you were first largely asking why does the reading public, when they immediately see an Instagram Me Too, glom on to some unknown person's accusations without any evidence
that
at
too.
All. And to hear the other side, why do they immediately assume that that person actually committed assault?
Right.
I don't know. I mean, this, I think, is a problem with the Me Too movement. Now, you're asking...
Legal recourse.
Okay. So now this is the real difficulty you have, even in the freest country in the world, is what can you do, if anything, if you are unjustifiably accused? Now, most people out there... think that, well, you have legal recourse. You should, right? For every wrong, didn't you learn this out in law school? For every wrong, there's a remedy, right? This is first-year law school legalese. Unfortunately, there isn't in this country. So let's say, the allegations are false, right? So you must be able to sue for defamation. You want to talk about a legal theory that has basically been demolished in this country and probably shouldn't be demolished because what is more important than your reputation? And you can write protect your reputation by a defamation action. So let's say, Alan, that this hypothetical that the Los Angeles Times ran that story that sources have said that when Alan Gervey was at Brown, he touched a girl.
Are you my long-lost brother?
Okay, and so you know what? And the story says that it's based upon several sources, okay?
Right.
Well, you're reading this, and now it all spreads, okay? You know, you're a sexual, you know, you're the person who's you're a sexual deviant. Are you going to sue the Los Angeles Times? You've got so many legal problems. Okay, the first is we have a slap statute, okay? 28 states in this country have anti-slap statutes, okay? And that prohibits lawsuits that are based on public participation. This would be, falls under the rubric here because this is the press, free speech on an issue of public interest.
Right.
So this is going to qualify for slap protection, okay? Which then shuts the case down. You get no discovery in a case. And now at this point in time in the case, it's your burden. It's your burden as the plaintiff without doing any discovery to prove, and the case law says minimal merit, but that your claims have merit. I'd say, Alan, you probably are a public figure, if not a limited public figure. This radio show doesn't help you. And so what that then means is you're going to have to show actual malice. You have so many legal problems here, but the actual malice one for a public figure is almost insurmountable. And especially here, the LA Times is going to say was based upon sources.
They won't tell the sources.
Exactly right. They have the law. The law protects confidential sources. So this is a dead bang loser for you. Putting aside the Streisand effect is a whole other concept why defamation actions may inure to the the detriment of someone who's defamed, because you're now you're just magnifying the negative information. Mm-hmm. But legally, you're going to lose, okay, but to a powerful person in the Me Too movement, losing may not be that important, because there's a wrinkle here, is you actually have to pay all the legal fees to a defendant. This is more daunting to somebody who isn't a powerful, you know, wealthy Me Too movement person, like a run-of-the-mill reporter. I've had run-of-the-mill reporters that have been caught up in this, you know, making $50,000 to $100,000. They cannot afford to pay the hundreds of thousands of dollars that a slap will subject him to. So defamation claims are extremely difficult. Now, you asked me about what about wrongful termination? I got fired, or you may have a partnership agreement, which may not let them. Okay, but most folks in this country are employed on an at-will basis. That means the employer can let you go for any reason, no reason, or even a bad reason. They don't even need a reason. Now, without even needing a reason, they kind of have a reason, right? Yeah. Some people have come forward and they've said that this happened, you denied it. Well, they can just conclude that, well, we don't know, or we believe that you did do this, especially, you know, given the preponderance of claims. But they don't need a reason to let you go based upon at will. Now, where you may be saved is if you have an employment contract, right? And if the contract doesn't have some type of a morals clause in there, okay, well, you may be paid in the sense that, yes, they're going to fire you, you say an actor, but they then have to pay you out on the contract. But absent having an employment contract, you have no security. Generally, you have no security.
Right. And you have to be concerned about how the business or the company or the television show, whatever it is, looks at the public reaction to the accusations. And last time you were here, we mentioned in the first segment, you brought Dove Charney in, who, of course, was a founder of American Apparel. And I think you spoke about what did that do to American Apparel. You talked about the environment of American Apparel. Before you started to defend and represent Dove Charney, you said that what it made Animal House look like a choir or something like that. And then, of course, you switched sides.
Look at Keith looking at you.
Sometimes your memory is too good, Al, but you're right. Yes, I don't know. That's close to what I said, yes.
And the question becomes when it's going to impact the business. You know, the board of American Apparel is saying we can't have this guy running around in his underwear, or at least the public perceiving it as a problem, when even though we enjoyed it while it was occurring and okay, no one complained.
Al, now you're off somewhat. This is called offsides in, I think,
in hockey.
In Canadian hockey. Yeah. Okay.
It's American hockey.
It's not
too.
Okay. But, you know, American Apparel is its own unique animal. Okay. American Apparel actually leveraged off of the sexualized environment. All of Dove's, you want to call them antics, okay, whatever they are, you know.
But let's take Dove out of the equation.
But you're focusing on American Apparel. No, that was good for their business. They were all fine with it. Okay. And his firing had nothing to do with his sexual conduct. And my belief is based upon proxy fraud, and he was wrongfully fired.
So the question is, take away American Apparel. When you're dealing with a company that is so concerned about its reputation, whether it's CBS or whether it's, you know, Weinstein's company or whatever, how do you get due process? How do you get justice from the Me Too movement if the company is just too afraid to do what's right?
Well, you don't. And of course, you have to think about certainly public companies. You know, what is a public company's right obligation? I think most people will say a company's obligation to its shareholders, right? So if a company's and fiduciaries of the company have an obligation to the shareholders, right? And somebody who's a CEO or a high profile person is accused of these serious allegations, and it's going to hurt the brand. Okay, well, then maybe you do need to let the person go, even if it's not fair, right, in a vacuum, if it's not right, and no, you know, due process or justice was dispensed to the individual.
So you representing these people now? Because we have to go to another break. We've got a couple minutes before we do that. Are you representing men who have been either wrongly accused or have not been afforded due process?
Many men.
Many?
Many men, yes.
And is it out there in the public? Are people hearing about this? Or do you, like, for instance, Scott Baio, I think, was accused of some things many, many years ago. In fact, I just ran into him at my kid's school. I didn't ask him about the accusations because they were like 30 years ago. But a lot of people don't follow the story, don't know what happens afterwards. And all they remember is he was accused of something, not knowing whether or not it panned out or whether the statute of limitations issue. So you only hear part of it.
Yeah, but he came back fighting. And I think a lot of people believed him. time, honestly.
I think the Bayo's PR people didn't handle it well. But you're asking most of the people that I've represented have resolved their matters without using legal recourse.
Without legal recourse?
Yes.
Using you as a lawyer?
Yes.
Without
recourse to having to file a civil complaint.
Mm-hmm. So there's all sorts of...
And
that's what you would recommend?
Every case is different. It depends upon the case, and it depends upon, it takes two to tango, okay? If the other side, right, is willing to reach an agreement that inures to your advantage and to theirs as well, okay, well, then you settle the case and move forward.
Negotiations.
But if they won't do it or a complaint can get you more, then that's another option.
We need to move on to the school setting, and we need to take a break. But before we do, I just want to hear the last word from Keith Fink about what do we do about this? Do you have any solutions to provide for due process in the Me Too movement?
This show was a good show. This is why I came on your show. I like you.
I know you do.
I like me better, right?
Of course I do. I like your co-host better, even though she slaps Lisa a little too much.
Because
I only have good memories of Lisa.
Please. I'm not going to say anything, but please.
So, we're talking about public companies, and they're in a difficult spot. I think private employers can do a lot more, accord a lot more fairness to employees, especially those that have been with the company a long time, to be with the company for 10 years and to have an allegation come up from years ago, a single allegation. Yeah. And not every case of sexual assault. This is the problem. People equate Bill Cosby, right? A real monster. Drugging numerous women and raping them. You can't equate that with someone who's alleged to have touched someone's leg one time 10 years ago at a picnic or made some off-color jokes.
Yeah, no, I get it. You know, what you're saying, and I think it's important, Robert Shapiro said it on our show 2 weeks ago, it's about the education. He was talking about drug dependency and drug addiction for kids and for youths, and he said it's all about education. Why am I on Gervie's Law? To educate. Why is Keith Fink on it? Gervie's Law? To educate. We want to talk to Cindy Garvey after the break. We want to talk about Title IX investigations and UCLA, Keith's school. We're going to do all that.
And Lisa's school.
And Lisa's school. Right after this.
Talk Radio 790, KABC News Update. I'm Steve Cumming. The White House says President Trump plans to visit areas affected by Hurricane Florence next week. Press Secretary Sarah Sanders told The Hill that Trump hopes to travel to storm-damaged areas in the early to middle part of the week. Sanders also said the White House wants to ensure that presidential travels do not disrupt rescue or recovery efforts. Meanwhile, Mr. Trump is monitoring the monster storm from the White House and continues to question the death toll in Puerto Rico from Hurricane Maria. He tweeted last night that initially only 16 deaths were reported, then wrote, quoting, "Over many months, it went to 64 people, then like magic, 3,000 people killed," end quote. He ended his tweets on the number killed in the U.S. territory by saying, quote, "50 times last original number, no way," end quote. KABC SoCal weather, clear tonight except for patchy low clouds and fog along the beaches after midnight, lows in the lower to mid-60s. More news coming up in 30 minutes and continuing coverage at KABC.com. I'm Steve Cumming, Talk Radio 790, KABC News.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervey and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
Hey, it's Randy for my friends at McKernan Inspections. You know, termites are active year-round, and in the fall when it starts to get cooler, subterranean termites move deeper in the ground to access the warmth they need to survive. So if you see droppings, wings, sagging floors, hollow wood, subterranean tunnels, blowholes, or even hear the noises, Call McKernan Inspections immediately. The phone number is 818-785-3587, 818-785-3587. Termites are attracted to moisture, and there's plenty of that in your soil, so don't let the wood chompers destroy your floors, doors, and walls. You know, termites might bite and sting, and if you're living in an infested home, you might suffer from allergic reactions or even asthma from the termite saliva or droppings. Ew! Call my buddies at McKernan Inspections, Frank and Cassie. They'll take care of it. 818-785-3587, 818-785-3587. Book your termite checkup today. They've been around for over 30 years in the L.A. area. 818-785-3587, termite schmermite.
Talk Radio 790.
K-A-B-C.
We got a real big show for you.
Coming up on the next drive home with Jillian Barbary and John Phillips, we'll tell you how people in North and South Carolina are handling the aftermath of the hurricane.
And if your workouts are more than 13 minutes, you're wasting your time. So mine are zero, so I'm not wasting any time in this life, John.
That's the best news I've heard all day. Live and local, right after Dr. Drew and Lauren Chabon on Talk Radio 790 KABC.
You're listening to Gervie's Law, giving you a new perspective to enrich your life. Now, here's your host, Alan Gervie.
Yeah, things are getting heated. Carrie, keep it down.
We're on the air. I'm talking if I slap and losing it.
I'm going to slap you.
Okay. Promises, promises. No, it's horrible. Me too.
We're talking to Keith Fink. Wow, things are going crazy in here. Cindy Garvey's, she's chipping in with some really important stuff she's saying. And Carrie and everyone's going at it. You know, Keith Fink... we got to talk about some other stuff here, and I want to ask Cindy about a couple things. We've got some lawsuits to talk about here. Keith Fink is known as a true Bruin. You really are. And, you know, I really liked your comment when they wanted to kick you out as a professor at UCLA, and people said to you, well, why don't you just go to another school? And you're like, I'm a Bruin.
Where's he gonna
I'm a
go?
Bruin. I want to be teaching here at UCLA, and I want to sue UCLA.
I don't want to sue them. That's not optimal. My heart is with the school. I played on the campus when I was 10 to 12 years old. I went to the school when I was 17 years old. I had a great time with Lisa Bloom as my the Bay partner.
Yeah.
I enjoy all the kids, the wonderful kids.
And by all accounts, you were an amazing, amazing professor that people loved your classes on free speech.
You should ask. My former student, who's right here, Andrew Liddy, took all four of my classes. He's my TA for six classes, and now he's waiting for the bar results. So, Andrew, how your opinion?
I might sound biased, but easily the most influential professor I had in undergraduate.
Wow. At UCLA?
At UCLA, yes.
That's especially amazing.
With respect to how he would teach students about the practical importance of the First Amendment and also empowering them to fight for their own rights.
But didn't the administration try and shut down his free speech?
I definitely think they did. He taught a class on free speech. It covered controversial topics. Often he would use UCLA as an example of these controversial topics because it's most, you know, talking about an incident at UCLA is more interesting to students than something, you know,
else
across the country.
Right.
And administrators on campus don't like that.
And they told you, Keith, that they didn't want you to teach anymore because of that. They didn't want you to teach free speech because of free speech.
Well, they didn't really tell me anything. They wrote five sentences, okay, after a voluminous record, five sentences, you know, thank you so much for playing the game and have a good life. And they didn't give any reason why they let me go. But
Are you suing them for that, by the way?
No, we're right now caught up. It's called a grievance, right? You have to exhaust your administrative requirements. So I'm caught up in that wonderful process.
The grievance.
What Andrew just said, I'll give you a quick example, is they had a Kanye Western party.
Yeah.
So this is an example, a Kanye Western party. People get their kids, you're in college. I don't know what, Brown, if you did this, but at a public school, we do this. We have some fun besides reading Shakespeare.
We used to be able to read Shakespeare
and Milton, but now they're white folks, right? So you're white privileged if you read Shakespeare and Milton. But you enjoy yourself, so you have a party, so these kids are having a Kanye Western party, immediately someone sees soot on their face and says, well, it's blackface. It wasn't blackface. It was a gold digger song. Someone had big butts because that's Kardashian. So immediately the university wants to suspend, without any due process, any investigation, they want to suspend the kids for some, you know, racially insensitive incident. So I use that as an example. Is the First Amendment at play? Do they have free speech? What's the expressive activity? So this is the type of example that Andrew's talking about.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. But, you know, Cindy, I know you want to chip in here because we're talking about suing UCLA. What about you.
Well,
you want to sue UCLA?
Keith already took care of a situation. I came.
She
to,
did.
I came. I am one of his first cases. I came to Keith due to my UCLA situation and what I experienced in dealing with UCLA. I mean, I'm older. I'm getting my higher education degrees, my graduate, my master's in public health, and they come to me with this situation, and I, being a former broadcast journalist, figure I'm pretty intelligent. I'm going to deal with the UCLA process.
Yeah.
I hit a wall very rudely, very dismissively. You don't know me, but I'm a donor. I volunteer my time at UCLA. I'm very proud of getting my higher degree at a later age. So I was recommended to Keith Fink. I came to see him. I will never forget Alan. I'm at his conference table, and I'm going, oh, wait a minute. This guy's a true blue Bruin. Mm-hmm. He's going to kick me out of here. He walked towards me. I remember he leaned over, and he said, so what you got? What's going on? And I told him, he says, I got it. Send me the names of the people you dealt with, blah, blah. Long story short, about 2 months later, it's all gone. It's done. And from that, I then started to follow him. And I started to read about his dismissal process, this panel that was going to determine if he was a good teacher. Keith taught at UCLA for over 10 years. He took no salary. He loved those kids, undergrad, graduate school, law school. And if they could do this to Keith Fink, something like that, and to me, in a sense,
yeah,
it got me to thinking about what he was going through and the students involved. So when Keith was going through the ringer with the process at UCLA, I started to come on board.
How did you do that? How did you get on board?
I attended the rallies. I went to the Young Republican Club meetings at UCLA so I could hear what was actually going on. I spoke to Keith about it.
Did you believe that they were trying to get rid of him because of his conservative perspective?
I believe it was trifold. I think he is a conservative. I'm a moderate. If you are a moderate, a conservative, or just are not on the progressive liberal train at UCLA and USC and other UC system schools,
right,
you as a student, which interested me because after they did what they did to Keith and to me, you think of an 18 to a 20-year-old child, you know, young adult. They're afraid because if they come out against the mainstream thought there at UCLA, they might not get their classes. They might have to skew their homework and their papers and their research to go into the, you know, the thought process that they will be maybe ostracized by their peer group. They will maybe be even worse. I mean, there's terrible consequences of free thought. And UCLA flies the diversity flag, but they don't fly the intellectual diversity flag. So to me, if I was a parent or a donor, especially an alumni donor,
right,
I'd be watching this very closely. I don't think you want to pay for your dear Sally Johnny to go to a school, a state-funded school, a public school, where your children do not receive the full spectrum of free thought and determination. And so my daughter went to UC Berkeley a long time ago. If she applied now to the UC school system, I would not allow her to go.
Wow.
So Keith fills a void, Alan, at UCLA with this foundation, the Foundation of Accountability in Higher Education. These children can now turn to a lawyer and his legal team to fight their battles. And they better come to Keith Fink with the truth, number one, because he does not suffer fools lightly, and he will suss you out in a second. But if they have solid ground and they're telling the truth and he takes their case on pro bono, UCLA is not liking this. Trust me. He's their worst nightmare. And these services by Keith are open to the students, to the staff, to administration, anyone that feels silenced and threatened by UCLA and the UC school system. So I applaud Keith. I think he's a disruptor in the academic campus structure now. I hope it spreads to other campuses, not just in California. Because if you're a child and you don't have the wherewithal or you're afraid to tell your parents what's going on, where do you go? You do exactly what the university wants. You fade away or you're worn out. So he gives a voice to people that have true grievances with the system.
Wow,
is that good?
She read
real
Keith. She read that just how you wrote it.
Did I read that? I did not read that.
Alan, I'm a good listener. What I don't agree with is the
character. It was well said.
It was, but what I don't agree with is the characterization that I am UCLA's worst nightmare. Now that is likely. Let me finish.
In a sense, I think you are.
Let me finish.
I think you are.
I gotta finish. I disagree with you.
Okay.
From the administration's perspective.
Yes.
That's absolutely the way they look at it. I don't look at it that way. I believe if UCLA UCLA embraced, listened to what I had to say. Everything that I have to say is rational. As a teacher, I never put my own thoughts or ideology. I don't tell students what to think. My job is to make them think. And so if they just listen to, you know, open, with an open mind, my classes and what the students want.
Keith, I'm trying to help the university,
right. Okay? But they're not interested.
And I think that's
they're what interested in their own progressive agenda, so they don't want to listen to me.
I'm debating you now. Mm-hmm. Why? But we're on the same side here. Mm-hmm. Why would she say that? She means, I think if I can interpret for you, that you're their worst enemy only because you're trying to get them to
correct.
Make kids think independently.
Correct.
And
right.
if they're
correct.
Not going to subscribe to that theory,
correct.
They're going to tell someone why.
As this foundation gets more and more press and people get to learn about the foundation, I think in the future, because I'm a positive thinker, I hope that there will be a discourse between Keith and his team with the academic diversity. I mean, they spend all these millions of dollars on these diversity councils and departments and agencies, and Jerry Kang is ahead of the diversity, whatnot. Well, let's get some intellectual diversity, and who better to explain the current situation and the tensions on campus now than a person like Keith Fink and his team with the foundation.
Is there anybody over there that actually has any kind of common sense?
Jasmine Rush.
Okay.
There is. Yes, I know. I've been through the process. Yes.
Okay.
Dean Jasmine Rush, and she's actually the dean of students. I've met her on actually Title IX matters. I wish she was in power, but she's not in power. But yes, completely rational, fair, objective person.
What about Susanna Taylor?
You mean an investigator?
Yeah.
I think she's very smart.
You mentioned Title IX, the Title IX investigator.
I think she's very smart. I think she's a good investigator.
So tell us in 2 minutes about the Title IX investigations. Let's talk about the lawsuit, because in the last segment I want to talk about the foundation a little more. But just quickly tell us about fraternities and the abuse and the lawsuit that you're pursuing.
Fraternities, I think there's a pandemic problem in this country. I think Canada, your country, or maybe our country is your country, but okay. But it also
Canada's
in our bordering country, it's the same. It's the same type of problem. But there's an epidemic of sexual assaults.
Yes.
And the statistic that 1 in 5 women are assaulted on campus, that is not an accurate, it's a false statistic, where it's much lower than that, where the assaults occur, the large number of assaults, they occur at the fraternities. And the ideology of these events, I believe, is triggered by excessive alcoholism. And so UCLA is a microcosm of the macrocosm in that they know, they've known for a long time that this problem exists, there's excessive alcohol, that kids, 21 is the drinking age in this state, that kids under the age of 21 are drinking. Not only do they drink at the parties, they have something called pre-gaming.
Mm-hmm.
This is drinking before drinking, mm-hmm. if you can believe this. And the fraternities know about this, the advisors know about this, the universities know about it. So kids are going to parties already drunk before getting drunk.
Yep.
Okay, and you're only supposed to be 21. So now you mix that in, right? You have females there, and then they're doing handles. Have you heard of this? Handles at parties? You take a vodka you take a vodka bottle in your hand, and you pour it down your mouth to get drunk as fast as you can.
Oh my gosh. This is
what happens at these parties. So you have, right, so you have this mix, okay, where you got guys and girls together. I mean, naturally, it's going to lead to some assaults.
And it happened, you are representing someone who is not being named against Blake Lobato.
Yes, well, this situation, I think this is even worse what we have in this situation. My client was not the only person raped by this individual. Okay, our complaint
allegedly raped.
Well, okay.
I don't want to get sued.
You said Susanne Taylor, who was the investigator, she did a Title IX proceeding on both matters. Well, the second one, the other matter, sex was admitted to when she was under 18. You know the law. Can you have sex with someone under 18?
Statutory rape.
That is correct. Statutory rape. Now, Alan, I want you to look at UCLA's Cleary statistics for the date that rape occurred. Does UCLA have the number 1 or 0 next to that year? I'm going to bet it's 0. How can it be 0 when it's 1? But that's a side point.
Right.
So UCLA did its investigation of both matters and found both women credible, okay, and he was expelled based upon my client by using force. So this
against the fraternity.
Yes, but this one individual committed at least 2 assaults on campus, and this process took 9 months. How many other women were potentially subject subjected to assault by this individual while it was going on. But the situation
is worth... take a break. I think the bigger question, though, is not only by this one individual. I think the point you make is such an important one. With all of the alcohol, with the pre-drinking on pre-drinking and everything, we're talking about a huge problem, not just one individual who has been expelled.
That the fraternities and UCLA refuse to do anything, and they know they can do things to stop.
And you're suing UCLA to stop this from happening.
We're suing the IFC.
The IFC. Say what that is.
The Interfraternity Council. This is kind of the overseer of the fraternities.
All right. We need to take a break. You're listening to Gervie's Law. We're here. We're passionate. Carrie, are you passionate?
I am passionate, but I really do, when we come back, want to talk about the difference between statutory rape and what the differences are. And if there are...
That's another show.
I have something to say about it.
We have to talk about the foundation.
I have something to say.
Okay, Carrie's going to say it. When we get back, we're going to talk about the foundation, and then we're going to ask KBC for another hour, because we're not done here. You're listening to Gervie's Law right here on Talk Radio, 790 KBC.
Have you or someone you know been injured on the job? Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers understand that physical and emotional workplace injuries severely impact your life. You have rights when injured at work, but you need an advocate to avoid getting lost in the red tape of a broken system. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers fully understand the complex workers' compensation system and will protect your rights if you've been injured on the job. RGW Lawyers won't give up when the insurance company fails you, and they have years of experience with catastrophic injuries like brain injuries, strokes, chemical exposure, cancers, and death. RGW Lawyers are compassionate and aggressive with over 40 years of advocacy for the rights of injured workers and have helped people change their lives with some of the largest settlements in California. You need someone in your corner if you're suffering from a work-related injury. Rowan Gervie and Wynn Lawyers will fight to get you the medical treatment you need. A workplace injury can happen at any time. Put this number in your phone now. 855-4-RGW-LAW. 855-4-RGW-LAW or go to rgwlawfirm.com.
My number two does not look like a number two. I don't know what to call it. Is there a number three?
Table for four, please. Anything close to the restroom.
A middle seat with these stomach problems? That's my fear of flying.
Sound like you? If it does, you could be one of the many people with a digestive condition called exocrine pancreatic insufficiency, or EPI. Even if you don't know what EPI is, you might know the symptoms. Frequent diarrhea, gas, bloating, stomach pain. If you have even just one of these symptoms, you could still have EPI, because not everybody experiences EPI the same way, which is why it's so important to open up to your doctor about all your symptoms. And the good news is, EPI is manageable, so don't keep a lid on it. Go to identifyepi.com, complete the symptom checker, and use it to have a conversation with your doctor. Don't keep a lid on it. Visit identifyepi.com. Brought to you by AbbVie.
It's back.
4K a day. 4K a day.
4K a day is back. Listen at 6, 9, noon, and 3. Hear the keyword and text it to 95819 for your shot at $1,000. Four times a day. It's 4K a day on your big money station. 790 KABC.
KABC reminds you, please don't text and drive.
You've heard of Murphy's Law, but have you heard of Gervie's Law? Anything that can go wrong can be made right. Now, here are your hosts, Carrie Kasem and Alan Gervie.
Yeah, we're making things right, right here on Gervie's Law and Talk Radio, 790 KBC. I'm Alan Gervie. I'm here with Carrie Kasem. We have a full house here, and we are talking to Equal Opportunity Sewer. Keith Fink.
Equal opportunity advocate, counselor.
There we go.
I thought you were a sewer.
No, I counsel. I told you.
Like a sewer, like in the street?
Counselor.
If need be, and that's not, as you know, Alan, that's nothing, that's not a badge of dishonor in this country, right? The courts serve a very important purpose, okay?
Absolutely.
We have a great system in this country.
Absolutely,
except
absolutely.
Except when it comes to statutory rape. And I'm just going to say this. A few of my friends, and one of them got really, it's really bad, had sex with a woman who was underage. He had just turned 18. His girlfriend was 16 and the parents didn't like him. His entire life is ruined. He has to file for being a sexual offender every year because the parents, I mean, what is that? How is that legal? What, I mean, to me, that's who you should be. That's what you should work on next, Keith Fink.
working on helping someone that committed statutory rape?
It's not. They were boyfriend and girlfriend.
Nope. She's arguing
it doesn't work that way
because of the age.
You're wrong. Well,
he said the parents were angry.
It can get taken into consideration in terms of the sentencing and discipline for the offense. The age is a factor, but no, you're wrong, Carrie. That's the law. It's a legislative decision. The legislators can change it on the law, but under 18, you can't have sex. So.
That's kind of ridiculous.
Now,
ruining somebody's life because the parents are upset. They don't like the boyfriend.
We got to talk about that on another show. It's a good point.
Is there another show?
another show.
We have another show.
That was Cindy Garvey. Betsy DeVos, education secretary, has said that she wants to change things in the schools. She is trying to protect some colleges, maybe the rights of accused, with some changes in regulations. Is she doing the right thing?
It's a broad question. I think overall she is doing the right thing. What she's trying to do is restore basic fundamental fairness in these Title IX proceedings, which under the Obama-era guidance, I believe that it gutted fundamental fairness. So I'll just tick off a few things that she's trying to roll back and institute. And we believe this based on a New York Times article a week ago. Number one, she's trying to change or allow universities to change the standard of proof. You got to remember, these are not real legal proceedings. It's
right.
One person. And so she's wants to change it from a 50.01 preponderance of evidence to clear and convincing, which is about a 75%. That's probably the biggest factor, especially when you consider...
Do you agree with that?
Oh, absolutely. Especially when you consider there's no other trappings of basic fairness. You don't have a lawyer in these proceedings at all. No
right.
advocate can speak on your behalf. Secondly, she wants to afford the parties a right to cross-examine. I can't believe that this is even an issue of dispute. There is no greater engine to search for the truth than the right to cross-examine a party. And currently, in these proceedings, you don't have the right to cross-examine. Now, you can do that without, you know, badgering the woman that's bringing up the charge. There's a way to do that. I would have a lawyer do it in a professional
right.
fashion. I wouldn't have the accused rapist or person assault do it. Okay, the next issue, they want to narrow the definition of sexual harassment. They want to allow the person accused of a crime, both parties, to see all the evidence that's in the case, even stuff they're not going to use, because as you know, that stuff could be exculpatory.
There are a lot of liberal people listening right now that are going crazy hearing what you're saying.
They should be on the same page as I am. Assaults, of course, we want to stop sexual assault, sexual harassment, but individuals accused of those crimes should be afforded basic due process. One thing which I disagree with of DeVos, because it's just because DeVos has announced this and she's in Trump administration doesn't mean I agree with everything. They want to limit Title IX's reach, and they want to now exclude things which happen off campus, and under that penumbra will become fraternities.
Mm-hmm.
And as I said earlier, I believe the largest number of sexual assaults and claims of sexual harassment occur in fraternities. So this is an issue which I disagree with.
Cindy Garvey, tell us about the Accountability in Higher Education Foundation.
Well, look it up on the website.
.org. Accountabilityinhighereducation.org.
Yes, look that up. Because you'll see a menu list and you'll see the cases that they already have on board. They're active. If you have a situation at UCLA and you've exhausted yourself or they've tried to exhaust you for them, come see Keith Fink. Call the foundation. Andrew Litt is there and other associates. It's a very important new disruptor in this whole situation that's going on.
What kind of issue should people be calling about?
Well, besides the sexual assault and whatnot.
Andrew?
Even Andrew. Andrew explained, well, he's one of our cases now, too.
Representative matters include issues where UCLA student employees have wage issues, perhaps teaching assistants in the communication department are routinely misclassified as lower paid readers,
right.
And their union doesn't do anything to support them. We also represent students on both sides involved in Title IX proceedings, serving as their support person. We support teachers when the school attempts to curtail their academic freedom.
Right.
Very important.
You know, I'll tell you, Cindy, earlier in the show you said that, you know, Keith Fink is probably UCLA's worst nightmare, and he said, no, that's not true. With this foundation, he may become their worst nightmare.
Well, they have to be accountable. That's in our title. They're accountable.
I didn't finish my sentence. And that's because they need to be accountable.
Oh, we're on this Gervy Garvey. I don't know. We got a thing going on here.
Gervy Garvey. It's very true that what we're talking about as lawyers is accountability, due process, rights, having people know their rights. Keith?
Well, I practice what I preach, and I maybe have 8,000 students. I taught at UCLA, and I always told them that there are certain things in life that you need to stand up and fight for. Of course, put your life on the line for, and maybe the civil rights movement, that would be an example. And these issues that I'm fighting for.
Is Colin Kaepernick in the Nike commercial an example?
I'm not on Colin Kaepernick's team. You're trying to get me off on that.
Well, I know, but look what you're talking about.
I burned all my Nikes yesterday.
Great.
You know, I'm with the American flag.
Okay.
So that's a whole other show,
but
Alan.
They're saying passion, do whatever it takes. And that's what you're saying about protecting people's rights.
You need to stand up for what you believe in. I don't know. I believe in this country and respecting
Excellent.
The flag and our veterans.
But
UCLA, that's not Colin Kaepernick, but
Alan, if I was UCLA, I would make some moves to have a civilized conversation with this foundation. I think it benefits all. It's nonpartisan. It's not gender specific.
It essentially serves the purpose of what the Ombuds Office should be doing.
So since I'm the director,
show.
I'm the director of the foundation. So and of course, I'm still passionate about it because it's a different role I can play to continue to help. Students. So many students' rights are trampled in terms of free expression and due process. Perhaps more teachers' rights with these mm-hmm. speech
right.
codes. Okay, if you say something politically incorrect, mm-hmm. You make some single sexual comment, your rights can be terminated. So it's both teachers and both students that we're here to help.
The foundation is accountabilityinhighereducation.org. He's Keith Fink. Thank you, Andrew Litt. Cindy Garvey, it's been
Thank
a pleasure.
You. Nice
Everyone
to see
always
you.
Says it's Steve Garvey. I'm Alan Garvey. It's really confusing.
Oh my God.
Appreciate you being here. Carrie, as always.
Thank I don't God. Know. Can you hit to right, Alan?
Thanks for having us.
We need another hour, Keith.
Thank you so much, Alan.
All right.
Let's do it.
We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening.
Let's do it.